Chapter number 7. As we continue on to our series in the book of Acts this morning, that we're going to look at Stephen once again. We looked at Stephen last week. We introduced you to a man that was full of faith and of power. We talked about what it means to be full of faith. We talked about being completely filled with faith means that we are empty of doubt. And when we look at this passage of scripture last week, we saw how they had brought him before the Sanhedrin, and they had hired men to make lies about him, and they were trying to put him on trial. So here in Acts chapter number 7, look at verse number 1. Actually, we're going to go back a few verses to try to remind us where we were at. We're going to start chapter 6, verse 13 to tell you the story a little bit. Acts chapter 6, verse number 13, the Word of God said, "And set up false witnesses." Remember, he's on trial here before the Sanhedrin. These are the 71 most powerful men in Jerusalem. They're led by the high priest, Caiaphas, and it says, "They set up false witnesses, which said, 'This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the most holy place in the law.'" And you say, "Well, what's the big deal? People speak blasphemous words against God all the time." See, back then, that was actually a crime, and that was a crime that you got put to death for. Verse 14, "And for when they had heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy his place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us, and all that sat in the council looked steadfastly," remember we looked at this, "on him and saw his face as it had been with the face of an angel." Chapter number 7, they allow Stephen to speak. "Then said the high priest, 'Are these things so?'" So they are saying, "Stephen, here's your chance to be able to speak for yourself." And in chapter number 7, verse number 1, verse number 2, all the way through verse number 50, Stephen preaches a message. He does not try to be defense. He does not try to give a defense of himself. Instead, he begins teaching them from the examples of Abraham and the examples of Joseph and the examples of Moses. He even throws in a prophet there. And he begins to teach them and show them that the Messiah was Jesus Christ, teaching them that the things they worship, like the temple and the fact of being circumcised and those things, they're just a part of it. They're not what we're supposed to worship. And take your Bible, go all the way to verse number 51. It's what we're going to look at this morning is lessons we can learn from Stephen's death. Lessons we can learn from Stephen's death. So he preaches from verse number 2 all the way to verse number 51. Is it not working? It's not on. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You want me to go back in the back, see if you can hear me now? I could actually be preaching inside one of the rooms in the back, and you can hear me out here. You wouldn't even have to look at me. Wouldn't that be cool? So nobody said amen. That's great. So I thought we were having a repeat of last week, but I didn't get to the batteries are dead, so I'm thankful for that. Let's see here. And so we have here that the lessons that we can learn from Stephen's death. Stephen here is what we have recorded as the first martyr of the Christian faith. Some people say, well, Jesus Christ was the first martyr, but he was the establishment there. We look at Stephen as a follower of his. And in verse number 50, when he brings it all together, and most commentators believe that Stephen probably wasn't finished preaching, but the people were finished hearing. And that they get critical, they get upset, he sees the looks on their faces, and so he decides to bring everything together and bring some application. And he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." You see this idea here that they prided themselves in the fact that they were circumcised by the ritual that God asked Abraham to show forth, and that's great and that's fine. But they says, look, just because physically you're circumcised doesn't mean that your heart and your ears are. And keep on going, and it says in verse number 51, it says, "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." He says, you are resisting what God is trying to teach you. "And as your fathers did, so do ye." And then he begins to remind them of what their fathers did. "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which show before the coming of the just one. And of whom ye have been the betrayers and murderers." So they're bringing the crime that what they were the ones that sentenced Jesus to death. Verse 53, "Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Verse 54, this is their response. Look what it says. "And when they had heard those things, they were cut to the heart," meaning they had conviction that came to them. And how did they respond? Once again, they resist the Holy Spirit of God, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, now look at the difference here. You see the one response of the religious leaders of the day, the 71 men, they're the most powerful men in Jerusalem, are supposed to be someone can look to for religious things. Their response was, they got angry, they gnashed on him with teeth, but he, referring to Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open. And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And so when Stephen sees this image, when Stephen sees this vision, you can say whatever, I believe he can see into the heavens. And when he sees this, this makes him just go completely crazy. It said in verse 58, and it says verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice. Now you can picture all these religious leaders of the day and all their robes and all their other stuff and stopped their ears. Pretty much they did not want to hear it and ran upon him with one accord. They attacked him and cast him out of the city and stoned him. Now, back in Bible times, there's different ways of stoning, but when they're talking about casting out of the city, many times they're going outside the city, they're throwing him down a hill, and then they are taking up big rocks, and they're just killing him by throwing the rocks over him. And, you know, some of us visualize the throwing of the stones. That did happen also when they told him to bring them to the center of the city. And it says, and witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet whose name was Saul. We've talked about that before. Saul here is Saul of Tarsus. He becomes Paul, a writer of the New Testament. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So, and they stoned Stephen. Stephen's the one here is calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And verse 60 says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning with this message. Dearly Father, Lord, there's so much here that we can learn from, so much that we can grow from. And Lord, I pray that you help us to give just the word you once said. Lord, I pray that you help those that are listening, including myself, Lord, to take the things that are heard and apply it to our hearts. Lord, let your Holy Spirit of God teach this. And Lord, you give me the word to say. And Lord, you just use me today to be a vessel, Lord, that we heard about so much this morning, a vessel, Lord, that you can use. In Jesus' name, amen. To be honest with you, when I was reading through this passage and reading it over and over throughout the week, there's just a lot in here. So when there's a lot in there, what I usually say is, like this week's title, is lessons that we can learn from Stephen's death. There's a number of things in here I think we can take and we can learn. But before we get to that, I want us to just put this in perspective. You know, there are some things in this world that are worth dying for. There are some things, we celebrate Memorial Day because we believe it was of a value that men and women would give their lives for the cause of freedom. There are some things that are serious in this world. There are some things that we should be willing to give our lives over to. And when I read this story, and we've been making application with the difference between that the first century church and the 21st century church that we live in today, we see here in the first century church, they took their Christianity seriously. Stephen, you see this story, you hear this story, you see a man willing to give his life for the cause of Jesus Christ, and you look at that and you read it over and over and over. He did not shy away. He did not try to defend himself. He preached the word of God. He knew it would probably cost him his life. They had just crucified Jesus months earlier, but he took it seriously. And the day and time that we live in, people play games sometimes at church. People are focused on themselves when they come to church. People think it's fun to be able to try to rip somebody else down or try to cause dissension, get fun out of just picking here and picking there. You know what? That is not what church is about. That's not what Christianity is about. And when you read a story like this and you read the book of Acts, you see men and women giving their lives, men and women giving up their jobs, men and women who are being outcast from their families because they think it's something serious and they think it's something important. And then when I read through this and I see this and I understand this, many times it just makes me think, boy, I need to take my Christian life more serious. People willing to die for the cause of Christ. Being willing to say, it's worth it. I know most people would read this story, Stephen's life, and say,
What a waste. We don't know how old Stephen was, but we know he was not ready to die, that's for sure. We know that he was physically capable of able to wait on the tables with the widows, so he had some abilities. We knew that he was preaching, he was in his right mind, he was able to, by the Holy Spirit's help, dispute, be able to debate with those people that were in those other synagogues, so I don't think he was really that old. And you know what? He said, my life is God's. Whatever he wants to do with it, I'm willing to do. And Stephen died. He gave his life. And we read that and we think about that, but how serious are we really about our Christian lives? And you say, well, it was a waste. Christ didn't think it was a waste. If you look at what it says, and I think it's really neat, and maybe I don't have all the answers when it comes to things. It says in verse number 56, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Most of us know that that standing on the right hand of God, that Jesus was supposed to be sitting. It's the idea that it's a finished work. But I think when Jesus was standing, he was standing to receive this first martyr, this man who was willing to live, die for him. It was a king does not get up for his subjects, but he thought it was so worthy of what he was doing. He accepted what was being happening, accepting what was being done. Stephen's life was not a waste. Stephen's life was one used by God as a vessel. As we heard the trio sing, no, we don't want to be a vessel that's up on the shelf, that's never used. We want to be something that God can be ready and use. And as we heard the choir sing, you know, search me, O Lord. I want to give my heart to you, my life totally to you. This is what Stephen is. This is who Stephen is. He takes his Christian life serious. And, you know, so many times people say, well, I'm going to listen to God over here with this, and I'm not going to listen to God over here. And, you know, they play games. They think Christian life is dress up and act like something and then live whatever way they want. We saw what it said in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. When they tried to pretend to be spirit-filled people when they weren't, God actually put them to death. We talked about it in Sunday school for a second. He recorded that. Not only did he teach the first century church that, by them experiencing it, they recorded in the Word of God, and he says, I do not want hypocrisy. I do not want people to play games. I want people to be sincere. I want people to be desire to be used. So when we take this setting and we see this story, this is a hero of the faith. This is a person who was willing to stand and preach and teach in a very hostile environment and was able and willing to tell the truth. Why would he do that? Because he believed. He believed that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. This morning, there has been thousands, if not millions, of people since then that have been martyred for the cause of Christ because they saw the value of telling other people about Jesus Christ. And if you are here this morning and you've never been saved, there has been many, many that have gone and they've given their life so you could hear this message. That we are all sinners and we're all in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ was their Savior when He came to this world and He was crucified on the cross. He was buried in a tomb and He rose again for your sins and for mine. And you can put your faith and trust in Him. And Stephen thought it was worthy enough and was valuable enough to be able to present this message so that way this group could hear it. And as I told you before, I think Saul hears it. Saul understands it. And as Saul sees and understands it, I think Saul's impression was there and he heard it. I think when Stephen was there and Stephen was looking up and saying that he could see the Son of Man standing on the right hand, I think Saul was looking up saying, I don't see anything. I wish I could hear what he says. I believe, and once again, you can't find this in the scriptures, but if you think of Saul of Tarsus, I think he was one of those guys that were back in the synagogues that Stephen used to dispute with. The guys he used to be able to debate with. You go here later on when Paul gets saved, he becomes the man that debates. He becomes the man that they could not resist. But I think that many times Stephen probably put Saul and quiet Saul down inside the synagogues and he says, well, I can't understand why I cannot debate with this man. We come to this spot here. There are some lessons that we can learn from his life. Here's a couple things I want you to think about. First of all, be careful how you are living. Be careful how you are living. And as I was reading through this, you know, one of the most valuable things that I got this week out of this passage of scriptures, you see in verses 52, 53, and 54, some religious people who looked good on the outside but were dead on the inside, you know what? They were the religious leaders of the day, and we see how they act. They act like little kids for the most part. They stop up their ears. They begin yelling with a loud voice, and this group runs upon Stephen and forces him out the hill and then throws rocks on top of him. But then you see what it says in verse 55. You see that phrase? It says, but he. See, we should be careful how we're living. The Bible makes it very clear there is a vast difference between Stephen and Stephen's attackers. It says in verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost. They are attacking him, but his attention is focused on the Lord. He draws attention to the fact that, but he was different. We've got to remember in this day and time that we live at, we're supposed to be different than other people. Look what it says in verse 51. Ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. So you have over here Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost, a man that's full of faith, a full of power that we learned about last week. And over here you have a group that is supposed to be ones that love God, that wants to serve God. 71 men of the most powerful men in Jerusalem, led by Caiaphas himself, that act like what? Children. They act, they yell, they stop up their ears, they do all these things. What's the difference? One is serving God. One is living for God. The other group's living for themselves. One is spirit-filled. One is self-filled. And I want to help understand, where do you get that from? Well, verse 51 says that this group over here resisted the Holy Ghost. Stephen was full of him. There's a difference here. I want to understand, you need to be careful how you live. You don't want to resist the Holy Ghost. First of all, you think about the resistance of the Holy Ghost when it comes to salvation. You think about the story. It just amazes me. This group was the group that put Jesus to death. They saw Jesus' miracles. They had all their spies out. They heard Jesus' teaching. They, even some of them had gone become Christians. They watched that. They saw that. They still put him to death. They heard about Malchus's ear being cut off in the garden, how Jesus reached out and touched, healed it. And they went through, they watched him crucified. They saw how he said, Father, forgive them. They saw all this. And then they heard Jesus rose again from the dead. Even the soldiers came and said, you know what? Jesus rose from the dead. And then they see the miracles from John. They see the miracles from Peter. They see the miracles from Stephen. Over and over and over and over and over, the Holy Spirit of God and God himself is saying, it's real. It's true. Stop resisting it. But you see this group here. They're resisting. They want nothing to do with it. They don't want to believe. They are hiding their eyes. They're stopping their ears. And they're resisting the Holy Spirit of God's help. And you see how they're acting. They're full of rage. They are the people we do not want to be like. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, first of all, if God's convicting your heart about your need for salvation, get it right. Don't resist the Holy Spirit of God. That's what these men were doing. They were resisting the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. They wanted nothing to do with it. They did not want to believe, and that's what people do sometimes. Do not resist his conviction. Do not resist his call for salvation. He said, whosoever will, and that's who can come to him. If you're not saved this morning, get saved. But also, I want you to understand, as a Christian, you can also resist the Holy Spirit of God. You can say, God, I hear what you're saying. And we call it the quenching of the Spirit, or we call it lying to God, or we call it grieving the Spirit for the believer. But you resist. God's speaking to your heart and saying, hey, I want you to change this. I want you to start doing this. I want you to stop doing that. And just like these men, we become resisting the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? We begin sometimes to act like childish. We begin to act just like them. We see Stephen, a man full of faith, full of power, a man that's used by God, a vessel to be used by God, a guy who's going to help see Saul saved. But then you got a group of people over here who act immature, who do not care what anybody else thinks as long as they get their way. They'll even go as far as hiring false witnesses. This is not just anybody. These are the religious leaders of the day. They'll pay money and says, you lie about this man so we can put him to death. We think that our government was corrupt. Think about this Sanhedrin that was corrupt. We don't want to be like that. We want to be like this. Be careful how you live. You see in the story here, Stephen, you see a man who loves God. He's full of the Holy Spirit of God, and he is used by God. Second thing I want you to see, not only be careful of how you're living, be careful of who is leading. Be careful who is leading. Here in verse 55 it says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost. See, we see that Stephen is being led by the Holy Ghost of God. Stephen was exactly where God wanted him to be. Some people say, well, maybe Stephen should have went and hid, or maybe Stephen should have just defended himself and walked away. But no, Stephen has to get him mad. Stephen has to get up there and preach the word of God. Stephen has to call names like stiff-necked and uncircumcised. They needed to hear that. And sometimes we need to be led by the Holy Spirit of God to say some things that need to be said to be able to take a stand for Jesus Christ. That's just what Stephen does. He's full of the Holy Ghost. Most of us look at this verse 51 and says, oh, that guy's just being bitter. That guy's just making up names. That was the Holy Ghost speaking through Stephen here. He's exactly where God wanted him to be. God had led Stephen to this place for this very moment, for the very things that was happening to him. You know, sometimes it doesn't make sense from our perspective. But God got glory from this horrible death of Stephen. And Stephen arrived where he did because he followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In other words, everything that took place was God's will for Stephen. See, sometimes when we walk through hard times, sometimes as the psalmist put it, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And when I think of Stephen's story, I'm thinking he's walking through that valley right there, the shadow of death. But in all reality, none of us are promised tomorrow. All reality, we do not know if we're going to be here tomorrow. We are all walking through that shadow of death. We have no evil to fear. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We let God comfort us. And as he's walking through this, take time to look at who's in charge of your life. How did you arrive at this place today? And I'm not talking about your car. I'm not talking about your vehicle. Why are you here today? Are you following the Lord's leadership? When we do the leading, many times we find ourselves in deep trouble with no help in sight. But when God gets the leading, he takes us exactly where he wants us to go. So, well, that place makes no sense to me. Stephen didn't care if it made sense to him. Stephen was a man that was full of faith. Where can we learn about him? That's where we need to be. Places where God's amazing grace can overcome our lives, and places where we can grow in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't want to be there. There's a problem then. We're not full of faith. We're being more like this over here. We're saying, I'm resisting the Holy Spirit of God. God wants me. No, no, no. Do what God wants you to do. Who's leading? So number one, it's just not about, be careful about how you're living. Not only just be careful about who's leading your life. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. But be careful where you're looking. Be careful where you're looking. Now, you see here in the story, and it says in verse number 56, we see what Stephen was looking up. He was looking up. It says, Stephen actually in verse number 55 says, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And then he tells them. When the Jewish leaders were attacking Stephen, where was his eyes at? They were on a different country. They were in a different spot. You know, if we were like Stephen and we were sitting in the courtroom, what would we be looking at? We'd be looking at everybody else thinking, you know what, those guys hold my fate in their hands. We may be looking at those guys lying about us, or those guys are attacking us, or Caiaphas, which is the high priest, saying, he should be doing something different. He's wicked, he's corrupt. No, no, Stephen takes and he gets a heavenly view. His concerns was not of this world. His concerns was not for his own life. His concerns was what God wanted him to do. And what we need to understand is, what are we looking at? What are we looking for in this world? Are we looking ahead? Are we seeing the rewards and the treasures that we're gaining in heaven? Are our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith? You say, where does it tell us we're supposed to do that? In Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. He even tells us, keep your eyes focused on him. Stephen could have been fearful. Stephen could have seen that crowd running at him. Stephen could have seen the stones falling down on him. No, no, no. What does Stephen look at? He says, I'm not worried about this. I'm worried about up here. And when we consider, what lessons can we learn about Stephen? Look at the way he was living. He was completely different than everybody else. Look at who was leading him. The Holy Spirit of God. He could say, God brought me here for this moment and for this time, and I'm going to face it. I'm just part of God's plan. God created the universe. He's got a plan. Someday he's coming back. Someday he's going to reign. He's going to rule. And you know what? All I am is just one portion of the story. Just a little tiny portion. But I want to be exactly what God wants me to be. I'm going to let him lead me. I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to say, this is God's life. I'm going to let him lead me. But look at where he's looking at. His eyes are not focused on this world. His eyes are not concerned with upsetting someone. His eyes are not concerned with what's going to happen to my family. I think you should take care of your family, but we got to think about it. This first century church, I don't think Stephen's that old. Stephen might have a family at home. He might have a wife. He might have children. He may have grandchildren. But what do we see? A vessel that was willing to be used. Also, think about be careful what you're learning. Be careful what you're learning. You say, what do you mean learning? Well, you see Stephen is dragged outside the city. They begin to cast stones at him, and they continue this until he's dead. You can sit there, and if you want to, imagine the stones falling upon him, breaking his flesh, breaking his bones, tearing his skin, bruising his muscles. But what does Stephen do? It says that he calls out to God. And they stone Stephen, calling upon God and saying, verse number 59, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You know what? He learned something here. He learned to call on God in every situation. It's the end. He's done. But you see where his hope is found at. His hope is not found at, and maybe they'll miss. His hope's not found in, I got life insurance for my family. No, his hope's found in, Lord, I want you to receive my spirit. I've lived my life for you. I've given myself over to you. Now, Lord, this is where my hope is found in. My hope is found in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing less. My hope is Jesus. And that's what he's saying. He learns this. So where does he learn it from? Look at the example here in verse number 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. It reminds you of something, doesn't it? You go back to the cross and you see Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen learned something. He saw Christ's life, and he says, that's what I want to be like. I'm going to say the same thing he did. He learned something from Jesus Christ. He gave his burdens over to him. He understood this. And I don't know about you, but I see this story, and I see the courtroom. I see Stephen standing there listening to the false accusation. It takes me back to when Jesus was there. And I know Stephen was not Jesus. That would be blasphemous. I know that. But he's a man that is like Christ. He's spirit-filled. This is the type of man that we can be like. This is what we should strive for. But we need to be careful how we're living. We need to be careful who's leading us. We need to be careful where we're looking. But we also need to be careful what we're learning. Now, sometimes I hear some of the most ridiculous things come out of people's mouths. Well, I think church should be this. Or I think church should be that. And it has nothing to do with seeing people saved and baptized and discipled and growing. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. It has nothing. And you know, sometimes it's like, really? Where did you learn that from? Where did you hear that from? And so many times culture teaches us what we think is appropriate and what we don't think is appropriate and way things should be done and way things should not be done. Where we need to be learning is from Jesus Christ. This is what Stephen learned. Father, forgive them. He says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Learn how to forgive. You know, Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus is speaking. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I think most of us say that would, hey, I'm working. I'm laden down with things. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke, which is a form of work, upon you, at least it symbolizes work upon you. And he says, learn of me. He says, I want you to watch. I want you to see the things I say, hear the things I say, see the examples I give you. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's an amazing thought, because we think many times our burden is so heavy we can't carry it. So many times we think our yoke is so unbearable, there's no way we can make another step. But you look at the story of Stephen, and you don't see a life of fret. You don't see a life of worry. You don't see a life of anxiety. He's getting ready to die, and he's worried about those that are watching. He's getting ready to give his life. And I'm sure he has a family sitting at home. I'm still sure he has parents maybe that are alive or that grandchildren. And what do you see him concerned about? These 71 men, they're getting ready to kill him. Why is that? See, the Holy Spirit's coming through their life. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's being led by him. We can learn things from him. Why are we so worked up? What have we learned? You didn't learn to worry from Jesus Christ. You didn't learn how to be angry from Jesus Christ. You didn't learn how to be selfish. And you didn't learn how to be prideful. You didn't learn any of these things from him. See, Stephen learned some things. Now, we all have things that we deal with. And as a pastor, and I'm sitting there, I'm learning that. I told you the first thing was, one thing from reading all this, I see a man who took this seriously. He wasn't worrying about, oh, should I sin, should I not sin? He's giving his life up for Christ here. I know, I'm sure there's things, because we're all sinners. I'm sure there's things that Stephen struggled with. I'm sure there's things that Stephen dealt with. But you know what? He learned to deal with them. He was spirit-filled. He was full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. He was being led. So when we see this, how do we look at this guy different than the guys in the 21st century? If Stephen lived in this day and time and was spirit-filled and spirit-led like that, he would probably be called a fanatic. He would probably be somebody who would be like, whoa, that's a little too much. Let's take our Christian life seriously. Well, how do we take it seriously? First of all, be careful how you're living. Be careful who's leading you. Be careful where you're looking at, because it's so easy to get our eyes focused on, oh, I need this, and I got to have this, and that person's got to be my friend, or I need this promotion, or I'm going to get my way. I don't care what my family says. But we also need to learn some things. Let's look at what Christ's example was to us. See, Stephen learned that. He got that. He understood it. And that's how he could sit there. He says he went to sleep. I think that's pretty cool that he maybe didn't experience all those things that maybe he's talking about when he went to sleep there, his death, because the Bible sometimes, I don't really know. I just know that I think the Lord took care of him. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, and even though all these things are transpiring, just moments later, he was there with him. Isn't that exciting? I don't know about you, but there's some lessons we can learn from this. You take home and you read this passage of Scripture, and first, just put it, why are those people so serious about their Christian faith? And I struggle with whether or not I'm even going to come to church. And I struggle with whether or not I'm going to read my Bible. And I struggle with some very basic things. And like I said, we all need to grow. The first point is to see the need to build. The first point is see I need to grow. And then just let the Lord lead you. Count in him. Trust him. That's all Stephen had no way of knowing exactly what was going to happen. When he was willing to be a faithful servant at those widows' tables, he did not know that he was going to have the opportunity to speak in synagogues and debate with the great minds of the day and be able to resist them. He didn't know that he was going to have the opportunity to do miracles. He didn't know he was going to have the opportunity to preach this sermon, be the first martyr, be the father, spiritual father in a sense of Saul. He did not know any of those things. He was just led by the Holy Spirit of God. He was just the character that God chose him to be in his story of his life. So all we can do is to give ourselves over to him and allow him to make us what he wants us to be. We hear about the story of Stephen, but you know, history tells us all 12, maybe just 11 of the disciples martyred for Christ. Story tells us thousands upon hundreds of thousands upon millions since back then have been killed because they believe in Jesus Christ and because they say it. People today losing their lives and being put in jail because of their faith for Christ. What about us? And like I said, that was the first thing that spoke to me about. Then I learned it's about how I'm living, it's about who's leading me, it's about where I'm looking, and it's about what I'm learning. I can learn a lot of things from a lot of people, but there's only certain things I can learn from Christ. Stephen couldn't have learned this anywhere else. Let's desire to learn